Welcome to AI and I, where we will explore the infinite possibilities of innovative education. Join us, Andrew and Faye, every 2 weeks as we navigate the intersection of technology and learning right here at Wellington Hangzhou. Hello, listeners, and welcome back to another episode with Faye and I, where this week we are going to discuss innovations around AI and, importantly, potential innovations. So where we think AI could be headed in the next X amount of years, 3 to 5, really, or longer potentially. But these are ideas that we think have legs and could potentially sound a little bit out there for the average listener. But once you understand the developments in AI to date, then it really gives you this feeling that we're not far away from some of these ideas that we'll share today. And we'll jump right in. Faye.
I know we were talking about how teachers can use AI in the classroom. But the other day I was thinking about, as a school, we also have other departments, and maybe AI can help other parts better. So today I was thinking, again, I went crazy. Think about, what if we use AI for safeguarding uses or purpose? In our school, well, I'm guessing for all the internet schools, in our school, every children has a little lanyard. In the lanyard, there's a certain chip or something called NFC to open the door or to pay for the lunch. That sense of chip also, for me, it's connected to that person. So think about, what if we design a system to let the sensors detect where is the student? The same time, AI will automatically pick up this pupil's timetable.
So really developing this chip inside of an ID card, so it can go beyond simply potentially opening a door and actually letting you know where that child, for example, is on the campus at any one time. And you also mentioned something else that they could do with the timetable, right?
That's exactly. So as teachers, it's quite essential to know where the children were along the day, whether it's in different classroom for different class or in the playground or other places. I'm thinking about, what if AI can remember each person's timetable and then can automatically pick up where it is students and match together. For example, Andrew, today we are in the studio, so the AI can see we're in the studio physically, and we supposed to be in the studio by our timetable, so that's a match. What if a children has been lost or wandering around or went to the wrong room? Then the AI can quickly pair up and then send an alert to the teacher or then pupil himself. Again, my point is, such a thing can be done by a person. It takes a longer time. It takes a massive people energy to actually check a person's name and timetable. But AI, I think it can happen within seconds.
I love it. And I'm even thinking now, could you have some kind of a voice recognition in the ID card so that if you were to lift it, for example, to your mouth and ask simple questions, let's say it was a confined chatbot with specific information, ability to give answers on specific information. So let's say that child said, what's my next lesson? And then it could speak back to them, but not necessarily give them the information to the answer in the test. That's great, yeah.
Yep. Think about, if somebody heard this audio, think about to invest me to make that thing come true, please contact us.
They'll be cutting out the middleman. So yeah, I love that idea. So one other thing that I was thinking about is whether we can have AI-driven lesson observations. And I'm sure this is already underway and there are technologies that are not so far off, which is to say that can there be something whereby you recorded teaching a lesson and then after that lesson given feedback by AI, which skips out the human element, which can have benefits actually, such as there being no bias potentially in that in your feedback, or you know, human emotions or feelings. Who's to say that that person coming in to observe you hasn't had a bad morning, and that's going to skew their opinion of your lesson, let's say. So you're going to get genuine feedback from that AI, and on the flip side of it, the person might be more receptive to it because it's less personal. You know, if they've not got a great relationship with the person providing the feedback, maybe they don't want to listen to it and take it on board. But if it's just a computer, maybe their ears will be more open.
I do think so. Yeah, again, I really love the one idea you mentioned, that there will be no or less bias before the person come to your classroom to do observation.
We also had the idea of monitoring pupil engagement. This was actually your idea, wasn't it? This was a little bit futuristic in my head. So could the person, the child in the class, have their engagement monitored and recorded, data provided to the teacher that could let the teacher know whether or not that lesson
was successful?
Any point in teaching it again, or maybe even during the lesson, tweaking it. Do you want to build on that a bit more, that idea?
Again, it was an idea, sounds much more in the future, but at the same time, it sounds a little bit scary. Do you know that? I think some hospital, you have a certain helmet you wear on, then somehow they can pick up signal from your thinking to know, are you active listening, talking, or just zoom out?
Yeah.
I'm thinking about maybe one day, those devices can be either so cheap or so popular that we can provide it to students. When I'm a teacher teaching, I can have a certain small screen or a light to tell me how are my students' engagement. Like, are they still listening to me? Or the things I request them has less interest. So I can quickly pick up on that and then maybe, I don't know, to quickly adjust myself.
Yeah, and I remember going to a conference recently in Singapore, and one of the vendors was selling a product which allowed the educator to see the focus of the child. So it measured, I don't know how exactly it worked, I didn't go into detail, but they'd put on this kind of a headset and they would be given a kind of a game on an iPad. And while they're doing that activity, it's measuring their brain waves or something to see how focused they are. And it records sort of their level of focus via a percentage at the beginning and again at the end. And its intention is to raise the focus of the child before the lesson. I guess it's a bit like a brain break, but with the specific goal of focusing the child before a lesson. So that sort of links with what you're saying, right?
The reason I mentioned it's quite scary is think about that people can see or can sense, are you focusing or are you zooming? I think it's quite scary, first of all. And then as a student or as a teacher, I definitely believe that it is okay if you zoom out. I mean, even though without such headset in the classroom, I think teachers are supposed to pick up those signs from students to know how are they doing. But again, I just feel like a little bit scary to know that I can see what you're thinking. I can see if you're listening or you think about something else.
The idea of data, sort of, you know, more and more, we're giving up more and more data and it's getting, I guess, more and more personal. Like, for example, how much are you focusing? I know today because your brain told me that you were only focusing 60%.
I think
it's quite a bit intrusive.
Yeah. But in the end, yeah, I think people will not become a people. You will become a series of data only.
You think that's the fear?
I think so. People can analyze your body, put into a data, can analyze how do you think, what's your capacity of your brain, put into data. Eventually, I think you will be just a line of data.
Have you heard the story or followed the story of the guy, and I forget his name, he is trying to live forever. So there's a Netflix documentary on him. He's American. And he's doing all these, he says that he's finding out what his organs want, but not his brain, what the other organs want. So he finds out exactly what the heart would like him to eat, or the liver, or whatever it might be. And he says the brain is often the worst organ because it tells you lies. And so through data he's collecting, he's using this information to then feed his body only what he thinks his physical body needs, as well as doing all the other things such as sleeping, drinking, you know, water, exercising. And he is a multimillionaire, so he can afford this choice of lifestyle, but he's investing all his money in this lifestyle that he's chosen. And obviously, you know, AI and the collection of data is massively helping him in his venture. But that's, you know, again, linking to what you said, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
And do we get to the point where we should live forever?
I think I saw a poster of that person.
Yeah.
He looks rather young by the skin, by the body shape.
Yes, he's about, I think he's like, I don't know if he's around 50, but he looks younger. And he gets even like, you know, laser hair treatment, skin treatment, like everything possibly. He covers all corners of his, you know, anatomy. So it's quite an interesting story to follow. But yeah, I think I said to you as well when you brought this idea up and you mentioned about data and people being slightly fearful of ideas like that, because one thing will lead to another thing and so on. And I mean, I think that's already happened until this point today, and I don't see it stopping happening. People, I don't think, care that much about their data as others might believe. As long as people are happy and have their needs met, have shelter, can access all the content they want, eat what they want, generally people will, you know, exchange all of that for data. People are, you know, even when all the stories broke out about the iPhone, the fact that it would, you know, it was conspiracy theories years ago, wasn't it? Oh my God, they're listening in. Mm. They must be, because whenever I talk about this topic, it pops up. And for a while, it was a conspiracy, like, oh, that doesn't actually happen. And then we found out it does actually happen. But has anyone stopped buying the iPhone? No. Like, people love using that tool. Mm. And so I don't think, yeah, the giving up of data is going to prevent things as much as some people might think.
I think just the topic data can be a full episode somehow in the future for us. I just want to add a little bit before we move on to this topic. I remember a long time ago, the people in China using Taobao, we had a big breakdown moment saying that Taobao, you're not supposed to track what I do every day. You're not supposed to have access to my age, what I work, how much money I spend. And then somehow Taobao had the function of you can stop the data tracking.
Okay.
People all thought that after that day, my Taobao first page will be so clear. But the thing is, Taobao now doesn't know who you are, just threw a bunch of things, random things to you. Like before, for example, you become a dad most recently. So if I'm Taobao, I will post you something about baby stuff, diapers, some cute bag, clothing, whatever, related to baby, because I knew you are a dad now.
How? If you've turned off the option for it to find out exactly who you are, in that example you've just given, how would it know that I'm a dad?
No, I mean before okay. You turn off that one.
Okay.
Because I can see you went to baby shop somehow, you keep searching baby items, so I knew you are dad now. But now after you switch it off, I don't know who you are. I maybe give a advertisement for ladies' makeup, though I'm selling a tool to fix your bed, you know?
Yep.
And then people realize, oh, this is not what I want. I felt it would be better or somehow.
Ah, so people actually decided to turn on the option of giving your data.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Well, there you go. So people don't care. People just want what they want.
Yeah.
Coming back to the topic of innovations in AI in the next few years or whenever in the future, the other idea was potentially having AI-driven teaching assistants. What we meant by this was teaching assistants that were, let's say, one example was audio-visual. So having a Max Hub in the classroom, could there be some kind of an AI built into that that has a view of the class and the pupils and can communicate with the teacher based on what they're seeing and what they're hearing? And then we developed that a step further by saying, wouldn't it be great if the teacher no longer had to make slideshows pre-lesson. They could simply be in the lesson articulating, you know, for example, in, let's say, maths, articulating methods and having those methods drawn out on the Max Hub on the screen behind them based on what they're saying. Or if the teacher could say, please give me a video now to detail to a pupil who is in grade two how to use the column method effectively and properly. And then within 30 seconds, it's showing the class an example of that.
I think that's a wild idea. I cannot think about a classroom that the content will come to you on a live moment. Like whatever you want to show, want to talk about, seconds later, it's there. I think quite crazy.
Could you imagine it even, for example, chipping in on things like behavior management? For example, you're teaching and in a silent gap, it picks up that a pupil's just thrown a rubber across the classroom and it says, James, please don't do that anymore. And the teacher himself or herself had missed that.
Yeah. And I think about after 1 month, the AI could tell James, you have been doing that 3 times now. What's going on?
100%. That's back to data, right?
Yeah.
How good is that? Yeah. And that's what I said at the beginning of this episode. If you're listening to this as an average listener who doesn't have much of an interest, let's say, in technology, actually to us sitting here now, that doesn't sound 1,000 years away. That sounds like something that could happen in our lifetime. You know, it's just about speeding up the technology. That's all it is. We can get 10-second clips of videos now that we can prompt with a text. How long will it be until we can do what I said in my example, which is just ask and get?
One thing here I want to add is that I can see this moment right now, if I could have a little bit of investment, if I could have a block time to develop something, I can totally make those AI teaching assistant device. I knew on the market right now, there are a lot of companies building a little device. You can use it in a meeting. He will record all the meeting content. In the end, use AI to give you a brief. And then can pick up the things you have to do. Can also tell you that, oh, in the meeting, people had a disagreement or something. Really interesting. I think about if I can divide. I mean, I think the hardware is not that difficult. Basically, a small device with a microphone, with battery, with internet, with a chip inside.
Do we not already have that technology, the technology to be able to get a transcription of a meeting and then provide a summary?
We do. I'm just thinking about we don't have a specific function for student yet.
Okay.
I think about that's another great business
idea. I like that.
Idea.
So you're saying like a piece of hardware, perhaps, that a group of pupils working in teams could put on the desk, software built into their computer, and then it would provide them with that information. Is that what you mean, or...?
Oh, I was thinking about in a much more realistic classroom. Like, for example, I'm in the classroom today. I have classmates, the teacher is standing in front of me. I just put the device on my desk. So the device is going to pick up what's going on here. The device can pick up the teacher's the voice, everything.
Yeah.
And also the device have a great access of all the lessons, all the planning, all the curriculum information there. So in the end, he knows what teacher talk about. He knows what homework teacher gave. He knows what's the key information today, the class. In the end, he can do that with me. Or he knows that previously, I'm not good at this part. So he will highlight that moment for me. So when I go home, ask him, hey, let me know what happened today. Then the AI assistant could just repeat everything or summarize everything for me.
I like
it. On a personal level.
Yeah. Do you think, so in senior schools, potentially there's things that could get near that, right, on a mobile phone, do you think?
You mean for senior school when they take their phone to school to do that?
I'm just thinking in my head, I'm like, envisioning how that would work. And I could see in primary school an actual piece of dedicated hardware for that they could put on the desk, pick up all that information and go from there. And then I'm thinking at senior school, they could maybe have their mobile phone with an app in it to provide them with all of that information.
That can also be, yeah.
But yeah, I like that.
But in the end, I still want to build a software. For me, it sounds more secure.
Yeah.
Because I can, the teenager with their phones, I just don't like the idea of having their phone on the table. I don't really trust them or myself to know if I can have my phone in the class. Maybe a specific no screen, just a small device I can talk to, or he can send a message to the laptop to show me everything.
That can be a whole discussion, by the way, smartphones in school, because I know that there are some schools and leaders who actually are completely opposite to most in that they advocate for smartphones in school so that they can be in control of teaching children how to use their smartphone properly, which is an interesting sight, because I know that most people are like, no, immediately, mobile phones definitely not, for all the right reasons, but there is another viewpoint.
Those are some crazy ideas. Again, I think the whole idea, what we talk about today, is this is not an idea, this is not a vision, it is happening right now under our eyes. And then let's see how fast those things can come to our life.
Let's see if in 5 years we can play this back and how close we were.
or maybe to see how rich we are if we actually take any action to build on those business ideas.
Or how angry we are.
Okay, thank you, everybody. That's all from the content today. And then I just want to wish everybody a good time. And then please come back to us next week.